Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And this week, we're going to have a bit of a results roundup from the playoff finals, which occurred last weekend. We're going to be hearing from some victorious managers. But before that, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show who's had a very, very busy week indeed. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Afternoon, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's morning. Just a disclaimer, we are pre-recording this show on Thursday morning this week due to, I don't know why we're doing it this early, to be honest. I wanted to watch Doctor Strange. That's right. So that's why we're doing it at this time. But if there's any breaking news or anything like that before Friday's airing, unfortunately, we missed it for this pre-recorded show. Let's kick things off, James, by talking about the playoff final in the Premier Division from Monday. 2,805 supporters there at the Flamingoland Stadium. And it was a very close game. Scarborough Athletic, though, winning in the end by 2-1. Bailey Gooder scoring the winning goal with 9 minutes left to play. A big congratulations to Scarborough Athletic. Commiserations to Warrington Town. But James, your thoughts on the action on the pitch from Monday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a very, very tight game. Scarborough had gone into the playoffs, they were the on-form team, beat the majority of the top six this season as well. Home advantage, playoff winners this season there, took advantage of the day and won the match.
Well, big congratulations to Scarborough Athletic, like we say. I mean, such a phenomenal second half of the season, wasn't it? But Warrington Town, commiserations to them. Well, let's hear now from the chairman at Scarborough Athletic, and it's a big welcome to the show now to Trevor Bull. Well, Trevor, a big thank you for joining us and a big, big congratulations on achieving promotion this season via the playoffs. We're recording this on Friday afternoon. I mean, how do you feel a week or so after the event?
Over the hangover, that's the main thing. It's a wonderful achievement for a little football club. And I know it's strange that I say that because people remember the old Scarborough being the league club and all that sort of thing, but you know, we're just a small fan zone club, we're 100% fan zoned. And I can't believe that we've achieved it. It's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, and obviously, Jonathan Greening and the squad, it's been a sensational second half of the season. And it's been building, hasn't it? Because, you know, I think before November or there or thereabouts, it was, you know, you were in like a blancmange of teams, weren't you, with the likes of FC United and Stafford, yeah, and a whole group of teams who potentially could make a run at the playoffs, but it was easier said than done. But then Scarborough just kept getting the wins, getting the results, and I mean, it was a brilliant run, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable, really, and it sort of started around early December when we lost 5-1 away at Buxton, and shortly after that we had a fans forum, and I just told the supporter that, look, you know, we took Jono on. It was a project that we wanted to see through, and he wasn't going anywhere. And then we went on this run, which, if you think about it, we showed some improvement before Christmas. We went up to South on New Year's Day and came away losing 1-0, which we felt hard done by. We felt we deserved at least a draw. And then we didn't get beaten until a couple of weeks ago when Nantwich beat us 2-1. So we've only lost twice now in this calendar year, which is incredible.
Yeah, and a great playoff, a couple of games in the playoffs as well, accumulating with that win over Warrington. Your outline there, Trevor, though, was a bit of a project, this. So on your project time frame, are you ahead of schedule or is it on schedule? I mean, we're going to ask you a stupid question.
Well, I think it's interesting because I became chairman 5 years ago. And I said I'd like to get the club into National League North within 5 years. So in that respect, we're all sort of on schedule. However, if you think two seasons were cut out for COVID, you could argue we've done it in 3 years instead of five. So but whatever way you look at it, it's a great achievement.
So we have to remember, because obviously Scarborough and its football club goes back a long way, and there's a great history there. But this new club, it's how many years old is it? It's what, 2007? So
15 years.
Yeah, and in that time, you've managed to get yourselves up to step two of non-league football, plus get a home at the Flamingoland Stadium as well, which is a cracking facility. So when we take it all in the round, I mean, it's been a phenomenal rise, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, I think the most pleasing thing out of that rise is over the matches of the playoffs, because we were very fortunate to attain home advantage for both the semi-final and the final. We feel we've absolutely got the town on our side and re-engaged with our town, who realise we've got a football club, because this promotion, we fought all the way back to where we were when the old club folded. And the demand for tickets, we had a record crowd for our semi-final. We beat it again for the final with a complete sellout. And we had 10,500 people watching the match on YouTube, which is some sort of record, I would think, for a Northern Premier League game. And most of the pubs in the town were showing. It was just an incredible day all round. But the big engagement with the town, and we earlier in the season, we did launch a new motto for the club, and we did this, you know, our borough, our town, our club, and we're living by that, and we're really playing our part in the community.
Yeah, two cracking attendances during the playoffs, that's for sure, including that final there with over 2,800 in attendance. Certainly got a spring in your step heading into the National League North now. When does your mind turn towards next season, and you know that some of the teams you're going to be taking on, dare I whisper it, but York City and the like? I mean, when do you start thinking about that?
I started thinking about it 5 minutes after the game finished last week. So, yeah, it doesn't take long. And you mentioned York City. That's the one all our fans want. But, of course, they're going to be in the playoffs to try and get out of the top end. So, we'll have to see. But, you know, we've got work to do. There's not a lot to do on the ground, but there's things we want to do. We want to improve the facilities for away support. When we have to get matches, things like that. So I keep thinking to myself, what on earth have we done? You know, because suddenly we feel like we're in the big league now, which is a little bit scary to a certain extent. But, you know, we've got some good people around us, some good volunteers. The sponsors around the town and new sponsors are every day. Businesses like associated with successful sports teams. So, yeah, so we'll just have to take it as far as we can. But it is quite a daunting task.
But then again, you know, we touch upon how tricky the National League North is, but getting out of the NPL Premier Division, especially the NPL Premier Division post-COVID and what it's been like with the logistics of it all and making sure your squad stays fit, that's one thing. But then having to compete with the likes of Buxton, South Shields, Matlock, Warrington, Whitby FC, Stafford. I've started listing, so forgive me if I've missed any team off, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, just the points total was such a competitive year. So, you know, when you look back now in reflection, Trevor, I mean, it's just unbelievable, really, isn't it, that anyone's managed to get out of the division this year?
It is. It was going to be tough. We knew it was going to be tough to get out of this league. And to be honest, I didn't really think we'd be able to make it this year. Our ambition was to get in the playoffs and see where it took us, and that's the route we've come. But, you know, we're not really a big money team. We have big attendances, but that's where the majority of our income comes from, because we don't have the off-field earning potential of other clubs, because we don't own our own ground. So it really is sponsorship and match day income. So it is a challenge financially. So we didn't have the biggest playing budgets in the league. So it just shows what a quality job our manager's done. He's taken a group of players and he's absolutely gelling. When they were beaten, we've taken a lot of points off teams in the final minute of games, and it's the team spirit that's brought us through. It's remarkable. I've never seen a team like it that are so together.
Well, Trevor Bull, a big congratulations to you, John O'Greening, of course. I mean, just a final thought. What's your expectation for next season? What do you think's possible at Scarborough? And what's next? Well, and what's next for the club? Because obviously this bit of the project you can sign off now. So what's the next step?
Well, I think the next step is sustainability in National League North. There's some massive clubs in that league, so you know, we've got to make sure we stay in that league. So let's not be careless. Let's get relegated straight back. Because I love everybody in the Northern Premier League, and we'd like to stay out of it for a while. And it's just create a sustainable football club at that level. We're going through the rebudgeting everything for the National League at the moment, and it's going to be tough. So We'll just see where we go. Keep the club sustainable. Keep improving the ground. Keep improving spectator experiences, and get as many people in that town coming to watch and enjoy football.
Absolutely. Well, Trevor Bull, chairman of Scarborough Athletic, a big thank you for joining us. Big congratulations. And, well, that's Scarborough Athletic being signed off from not just this season, but the NPL show. So all the best for the future, Trevor. And,
thanks.
Yeah, good luck next year. Trevor Bull there, chairman of Scarborough Athletic, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So Scarborough Athletic leaving us alongside Buxton and heading into the National League North for next season. Big congratulations to everyone at Scarborough Athletic. And a bon voyage to Ant Taylor as well. He can now join Luke and the rest of the gang on NL full-time, can't he, on that show. So enjoy yourself, Ant. Enjoy yourself. Scarborough did win the North Riding Senior Cup final on Wednesday evening as well. We're a 3-0 win over Guysborough Town. Not a bad week for Scarborough. Not a bad week as well for Calton Town. A 1-0 win for them in the Nottinghamshire Senior Cup final over Mansfield Town. So they beat Mansfield Town and Nottingham Forest's under-23s on the way to that final. So just missing out narrowly on the playoffs as well. In the end, to the team who won the playoffs. So congratulations to Calton Town for this past season and that piece of silverware there at the end. And also congratulations to Stafford Rangers, a 3-1 win over Stonehold Albions in the Staffordshire Senior Cup final on Wednesday night. So all happening there. And me and James were at Broadhurst Park on Wednesday. Congratulations to FC United. They went through to the final of the Phoenix Trophy, which will be taking place in Italy next month. So that they top their group and go through to that final. So congratulations all round to NPL sides this past week. And let's go now to the Step 4 side of things. I say that only temporarily Step 4 for a few of these sides. Firstly, James, let's talk about Mass United. A 2-1 win over Stockton Town on Saturday. 1,500 people there up on Teesside watching that game. A big congratulations to everyone at Mass United. Commiserations to Stockton.
Yeah, very good game football at the same time. Mass attacking force were a bit more dominant on the day, but Stockton gave it a fantastic goal. And again, next season, with what the predicted leagues are so far, I kind of fancy Stockton having a goal for the title next year if they can keep the core of that team together. Yeah, congratulations to Mass there. Obviously, with Adam Boys, the FA Cup top goal scorer of the season, unless someone gets 9 in the FA Cup final. Shows what Mask have done this year, but especially how they put Liver's Edge to the title too.
Absolutely. But Mask United going up into the Premier Division next season. And let's welcome back now the manager at Mask United for reaction to that success on Saturday afternoon. It's a big welcome back to the show now to Carl Jarrett. A big welcome back to the show and a big congratulations on achieving promotion at the end of what's been an eventful season at Mask United. We're recording this on Friday, long after that playoff final now. How do you feel?
Delighted, really, to get the promotion, what I think we've thoroughly deserved as a club, as a team as well. We worked really, really hard all season. We've had some ups and downs along the way, but obviously to get to the end of it and get through the playoffs, it's good, you know, to get that promotion. I think it just rewards what obviously we've tried our hardest this year, and we've got the rewards from it, you know. So very, very happy manager.
Walk us through how tricky this period has been as a manager, you know, not just for yourself but also the squad that you're managing to basically pick them up after what's been a brilliant season for Mass United. I mean, to go have the record you've got this season and not get promoted automatically is you know, amazing in all honesty. So how difficult has it been to keep the squad motivated into the playoffs the way you have done?
Very hard, very hard. I'm not going to lie. It's been a really, really difficult season this season. Even though you'd look and think to yourselves, you know, how good we actually have done with the cup runs, the FA Cup, the FA Trophy, and then obviously the league. You know, we started off like house on fire from the beginning. I think we went about 13, 14 games unbeaten. And then we got beat off Liversedge away. You know, we had a load of injuries that day. We didn't really know a lot about Liversedge coming up. And I think I've said it before on the show, you know, Liversedge pushed us all the way and we pushed them all the way, and it was a great contest all the way right through. And it got to the point where they were waiting for us to drop points, we were waiting for them to drop points, and no one ever did. And we got to the point where obviously we were playing each other, and on that day, you know, I'm not one to shy away from it. They wanted that game more than what we did that day, Nick, and they deserved to beat us on the day. And as soon as that happened, I knew that we weren't going to be coming back from that. And that's when it became obviously hard. We knew exactly that we had a few games left and we were going to be in the playoffs. So for me, it was about trying to find something different, how we maybe could change our little shape a little bit to try and bring a little bit more confidence into us to win them last few games going into the playoffs. Knowing that we were realistically going to be playing our local derby really again, as in Stockton, because I did see them, you know, a very, very good team this year that I knew we'd end up playing them. Played Shildon obviously in the semi-final, which is a really, really hard game, another tough derby game for us. So it worked itself out where, you know, getting right to the end of the season, I think the win against Shildon in the semi-final really boosted the confidence of the lads to see that we could actually start and get the ball down again and try and play a little bit of football, which has been very, very hard on two fronts. Obviously, the pitch itself's not ideal for our lads to be playing football on. It's really, really bouncy and, you know, it's been rock hard the last couple of weeks. Not making excuses, just what it is. And obviously, playing away from home, playing at different pitches, and the weather doesn't suit our style of play, and we've just dropped points along the way and we just haven't been consistent enough. So the lads, you could see the life were getting sucked out of them in times, you know, because the pressure was on so much to try and make sure that we kept head-to-head with Liversedge. And I think once that happened, I could see a change in the squad and the way we started to believe in ourselves again and play much better football. It's one of them where it was hard at the time when we got beat off Liversedge, but we also had a blip in the mid-season, obviously, when we got knocked out against Gateshead in the FA Cup. A lot of people don't realise that, but that had an effect on us from there. That was very, very hard as well for at least over a month to get us back playing anywhere that we should have been. You know, we lost a couple of games after that game. And we were quite flat because I think it kept them alive. You know, the FA Cup dream of trying to get as far as they can. And that put a little dent in ourselves, the way we played, which affects confidence. Few changes happened at the club that needed to happen because of that little blip, which didn't really help us either in certain ways. Lone players coming in and out. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't for the group itself. You know, we eventually got there at the end, and it was all down to a lot of hard work from the management side of things and obviously the players sticking by us.
Yeah, and just to go back to last Tuesday as well, because that was like a kind of... Walk us through that team talk you had to give at full-time against Shildon, because, you know, you probably think, you know, with 30 minutes to go, you've gone 1-0 up. That should be enough now. And then Shildon... pip your back right with 9 points left. So, you know, given the season we've talked about there, you're then having to boost the players again to go, come on, one, you know, this playoff semi-final here, let's get it going. And then Shildon, you know, peg you back again. What's that team talk like heading into extra time on last Tuesday?
It was, to be honest, in the Shildon game, if anyone come and watch the game, I think Bobby had mentioned afterwards, you know, we'd never played as good as what we played on the Tuesday in the semi-final for a long, long time. And if you ask many Mask fans that were there, they'd say the same thing. And I'm the manager, and I said the same thing after. I think it was the best I've seen us play in 6 to 7 weeks. And it was one of them, still like I spoke to you before, Bennett, we just couldn't put away our chances. And if we'd have put them away, you know, it could have been at least five or six on the night, but they've got the last-ditch tackles in, you know, we got shots off target, our header just at the bar, at the post, you know, we missed two one-on-ones with a goalkeeper, he's got his foot to it, his hand to it, and it just didn't seem to be, it was one of them nights where it just wasn't, you know, just going to go in for us, and I'd have took anything going off the backside of someone to go in, you know, and obviously Adam Boyce put it in, he scored his hardest chance of the night to putting it in, and then obviously, like you said, there went up the other end. I think about 3 or 4 minutes after we'd scored and scored a goal, which I think we could have dealt with a lot better. My team talk realistically under 90 minutes was just keep plugging away, just keep doing what we're doing. We've got a half an hour, and in every half an hour that was in that game, we created about 4 or 5 chances, and I just kept trying to keep the belief in them that one would go in. And one eventually did. So we were happy on that side of things, you know. But I do believe on that day we did deserve to win that semi-final, which took us into obviously the final.
Yeah, and that final then it's a bit more straightforward. There's no extra time or anything like that. And
yeah,
you know, Craig got scoring what proved to be a really important goal in the last minute there. But when Stoke to get that goal back in added time, you must think, oh, here we go again at that point. double the relief at the end.
Yeah, to be honest, Ben, when we'd actually in the second half we were in a lot of control of the game, we had a lot of possession, and it was one of them. We had a couple of chances, didn't go in, and Stockton had one where it hit the post, landed back in Ryan's hands. I just felt that we were going to win that game on that day, and I know I can say that now, but I just had a good feeling about the day that I thought Stockton had come. Obviously of having some good results on the back of us from beating us at home last time and drawing at their place, and I just felt that was their sort of weakness of what they'd done, coming thinking that we were beatable. And I said to the lads that, and I spoke to them on the Thursday at training, where before when Stockton have come to us, it's always, well, if we beat you, we're not supposed to beat you. I felt that they come thinking that they could beat us, if that makes sense. So I'd spoke to our lads about it, you know, and tried to rally them around in them ways for the mentality side, and they switched on, and we scored two incredible goals, to be fair. And we'd asked the linesman when we were 2-0 up how long, and I think it was 5 seconds left, and he said, well, as soon as he kicks his free kick, the whistle will go. Well, he kicked it, and then Tom Porter's got a flick in it, and it rolled, and then it went to the bottom corner, and I'm thinking, well, is he blowing the whistle then? And then it went back to kick off, and then we got a touch, and then we got another touch, and he blew it then. So we did sort of know that the game was won.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a defensive point of view, no one wants to concede goals either. But we knew as soon as we'd scored the second goal, you know, I think they knew as well that we'd won the game, really. And on it all, finishing 20-odd points in front of everyone, I think we deserved it.
Yeah, I think everyone, I mean, obviously, the other clubs involved in the playoffs will disagree with this, but I think any impartial observer would go, I think Mastic have deserved promotion, with all due respect to the other teams involved. But we've seen it before, where the team who finishes second doesn't make it through in the end. So all credit to you, Carl. So I suppose now you're justified in having a summer holiday. I don't want to speak on behalf of your chairman or anything like that, but I think you're due the time off. But when do you start to think about what's been achieved and what can be achieved next year, and how you plan for that?
We're doing it now, I'll be quite honest. As soon as it finishes, what everyone's got to remember is when you're actually a manager of a football club, managers they don't switch off. I know myself that when I've got players out of contract this year, I've got players that maybe might not be able to do the travel. I've also got other clubs that are trying to make contact with my players to offer them deals for them to come away from us. You know, this happens continuously, and you've just got to not be able to sleep, because obviously what happens is within 2-3 days of the season finishing, 5-6 days, I've had 2 messages off some lads that play for me now asking what the plans are for next season already, because they've had offers from other clubs already, and this is only 4 or 5 days since the season's finished. I mean, the National League, and I haven't even finished yet till Saturday, but this is obviously your business that you're in, and you've got to accept that. I'll find out next week. I'm hoping to have a sit down with our club and see what our thinking and what we're doing for next season, and then I'll be planning for that, and we'll go from there, really.
What's your expectations for what's possible? Because obviously it's been a phenomenal year. We've seen clubs from the North East and North Yorkshire area go and do well at Step Three. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on what's possible?
Well, exactly the same as what you're talking about. If it's something to go off, you know, a lot of people talk about your Scarborough, your Whitby and your Morpeths in that league. And, you know, you've got South Shields, really, who should be just blowing everyone out of the water, really. But I'll tip my hat off to the likes of Scarborough and especially Whitby. You know, Whitby are most probably at the same sort of, you know, side as us, and the players that they've got. And they've been playing in Level 3 and they've been holding their own in there for years. But this year that they've had, Nathan and Bully, to be fair, they've done an absolute great job there, finishing, I think they finished about 7th, just outside the playoffs. You've got to look at what they're looking at, and we've got to band ourselves in the area of the budget. You've also got to look at that the big boys have gone up, like the likes of Buxton, South Shields on the top, and you've got to take that off to them. So we'd be looking in and around if the likes of Whitby and Scarborough can push themselves into places where they are. I think I have got a strong enough squad in what I've got. It's been proven over the last year that we've competed against teams above and beat a lot lot of them. So being realistic, you know, I don't want to go into this league and hear from obviously people around me telling me just I want to keep them afloat and keep them in this league because we've got there. You don't want to hear that as a manager. What I want to hear is we want to progress and this is what we want and we want to aim for this, you know, and go from there. But I won't be sitting at my desk if it's a point of us just finishing fourth bottom or something like that. We'll want to try and push on as much as we can and finish as high as we possibly can. Because I couldn't sit back and just think, well, we can't do this. We're just going to stay in level three. You've got to push yourself. I think as a manager, try and do your best you can.
Well, Carl, it's been an absolute... How can I word this? It's been epic, hasn't it, this year? Yourselves and Liversidge, hats off to you, really. And congratulations, Carl, on the promotion to you and everyone at Mass United. Have a couple more weeks putting the work in and stuff and then have a holiday, all right? We'll catch up in the summer ahead of pre-season, OK?
No worries at all. Thanks, Ben.
Carl Jarrett there, manager of Mass United. So congratulations to Mass United. And they'll be joining Step 3 next season, as will James. Belper Town beating Chase Town in Staffordshire by 1-0. 2,500 there to watch that, which was actually the highest attended playoff final in all three MPL Step 4 divisions. So good stuff there from Chase Town and Belper Town. But commiserations to Chase Town. Congratulations to Belper. They come back to the NPL Premier Division after... Wait, it goes back to the early days of this show when Belper Town were last in the Prem.
Yeah, 2014-15 season was the last time they came into the Premier Division. And they've got a fair few divers come waiting for them this time round too. Well, this was a lot closer game. You could tell it was a proper cup final sort of feeling between the two. But Reece Bertram, good little header on the near post, won the game on the day. Two away wins in the playoffs. They might not have been top of the table in that four-way fight between them sides and only snuck into the playoffs at last. But you can't write them off.
Absolutely, and congratulations to Belper. Like I said, commiserations to Chase Town. But Belper joining the NPL Premier Division next season. Let's hear now from the manager at Belper Town. It's a big welcome back to the show, to Grant Black. Well, Grant, a big thank you for joining us and a big, big congratulations on getting promoted to the NPL Premier Division. We've spoke numerous times over the years and it's finally been achieved by the club after, you know, some great promise over previous seasons with you in charge. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. I think leading up to getting promoted. Obviously, we're on back foot, I suppose. Going into the last couple of weeks, we knew, you know, we had to win out, and the lads held the nerve and did that. And like you say, I think after a couple of seasons, a really good promise, and COVID, I think we might have done it a bit sooner, but to finally do it and to do it with a club like Belper and the group of lads we've done it with has made it all that sweeter, that's for sure. So it's been an eventful, happy, you know, enjoyable week.
And the last time we had you on, Grant, was actually, what was it, about 3 weeks ago. And at that point, I was talking to you about, are Belper going to be okay? Are Carlton going to catch you? That kind of thing. And, I mean, have you been in touch with Tommy and the rest of the team at Carlton to thank them for pushing you a bit forward? Because you could have stumbled into the playoffs, but they made you work for it, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, I spoke to him, you know, obviously, especially in the last game of the season when they missed out and we got in and so on and so on. He's a great guy, obviously a great manager. And it obviously took it really well. And like I say, I think after that game when they beat us in the last minute, you know, I think a lot of people thought maybe that momentum were with them and we were going to blow up. But we went for a game of bowling on the Tuesday after that game with lads, and I think it might have done the trick. We took ourselves away from football and then obviously went on a run of three games to get in unbeaten, and then backed it up in semi-final and final to get through to where we wanted to be.
So let's talk about the semi-final, because obviously you're taking on Stamford and we talked about the momentum Belper had, but Stamford also had a bit of momentum. And I think it's safe to say with how the title race shaped up in the Midlands, that top four, there wasn't much separating them, and Belper were kind of, I'm going to be honest, I think everyone would assume you were the underdogs heading into that. Was that helpful, that tag and the fact that you did fly under the radar a bit and everyone was talking about Stamford, Chase Town and Hales Owen for these playoffs, maybe?
Yeah. No, I think, obviously, like you say, we knew no matter what had happened, we'd have gone into them underdogs, and obviously, rightly so, with the, you know, the finances. Stamford took our main striker midway through season, and various, you know, Ilkeston, Aylesbury, and they all strengthened massively at key parts of season, and it was just about sort of trying to stay with him as long as we could. And once we realised that it was mathematically not possible for us to obviously push him all the way to win it, then we knew that his next objective was to get into them playoffs by hook or by crook. And like you say, I think the four teams going into the last day being able to win it is testament to our good, you know, how good the standard's been this year at that level. And like you said, we went into that. And I spoke to somebody on the day of the semi-final, I think they said something similar. And listen, in a one-off shootout, it don't matter whether they've finished 40 points in front of us or 4 points in front of us, we're both in the same scenario. So for us, it were a one-off game. We fancy ourselves against anybody. And, you know, we handled it the better that night. And we really put a show on in that semi-final, I think.
I mean, it's one of those occasions, wasn't it? Because obviously, I know Stanford went down to 10 men in it, but it felt like I felt nervous for both teams, really. It was like on edge of your seat stuff, especially the closing stages of the game. What was it like being part of it, that game against Stanford?
Yeah, I'd said all along, listen, I always thought Stanford was the best team I've come across at that level for a good few years, to be fair. So we knew it was going to be tricky, and we knew that it would go. You know, we'd have to be at it for 97, 98 minutes to stand any chance of getting through. And we scored a really good goal to sort of settle us down a little bit on about sort of 38, 39 minutes, which were a good time really to score that goal. And then just after that, they got a man sent off. So we went in at half time and obviously just tried to calm the lads down. But we knew that they'd come out again with 10 men. They'd nothing to lose then at that point. So they, you know, they took risks, but that allowed us to sort of get chances as well, which obviously towards the end of the game we took and went 2-0 up and they scored with last kick at game. But, you know, for me, it were already done and dusted. And like I said, it were an unbelievable performance by our lads to travel away on a Tuesday night to a team that had gone 14, 15 games unbeaten and take them to task on their own turf is again, credit to the lads that we've got with us this season.
And then you hit the road again on Saturday for Chasetown. Fantastic attendance as well. I'm going to suggest it might have been a bit of a partisan crowd there in favour of Chasetown. So you went there as the villains of the piece, let's say. But 1-0 wins leagues. But in this case, it wins your playoff finals. I mean, what was the game like?
Yeah, it was, to be fair, in regards to the whole day were unbelievable. Chasetown were... You know, they can't. I'll give them enough credit for how they managed the day and the atmosphere that they created. Were amazing by everybody involved. We played as part, and our fans did as well. But they managed the scenario really well as a club, so definitely deserve a lot of credit in that regards. But yeah, we know they've got dangerous players. You know, Butlin, Langston both finished so top three or four goal scorers in the league. We knew we had to nullify them and stop the service into Butlin, and obviously keep his eye on Langston as a goal-scoring midfielder, and I think we nullified them two really well in game, and that obviously contributed to us scoring a great goal ourselves in regards to the move, and then absolutely defended for his lives for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes and did what we've done all season, thrown his bodies online and sacrificed ourselves to get the Holy Grail, which were obviously promotion in the end. Yeah, it were unbelievable. Like, we were definitely villains at peace, but Chasetown took it well, to be fair.
Well, Grant, big congratulations on that success. So, in the Premier Division, Bell Patel back at step three. When do you think about next season and what's needed over the close season? Any holidays planned in the meantime, or is it all systems go now, I'd imagine, for you?
Yeah, once I sobered up after weekend, so Saturday, Sunday, we started thinking about it Monday, really. I know that the club had a meeting and sort of put down their things as to where we were going to be this season, and we know which league we're going to be in, etc. And we've already started trying to obviously keep the players that we want to keep this season. I think it's more important than going out and fishing straight away. So we want to tie the ones down, and we're already doing that now. And then we'll be sort of writing a shopping list for chairman, and hopefully we can. I'm sure the club are going to back us to go out and get the signings that we need, that we feel to. You know, can help us be competitive in what's going to be an absolutely unbelievably crazy league with the teams that are in it. It'll be a pleasure to be a part of it.
And what's your, obviously it's early doors yet, but what's your assessment on what's possible, do you feel, at Belper? Because you've already beaten Matlock and, you know, scored three goals past them, which Not many teams did this past season. So in a one-off game, clearly the team was up for it. So
unfortunately, unfortunately, the season's 38 games. So we'll take. You know, it'll be more difficult to get them on a regular basis, I'm sure, with the standard of team and standard of players. But listen, at the end of the day, we've got to go into it ambitious and we've got to go into it feeling that we can go and push as hard as we can. If we're going to go into it and just try and survive and finish fourth from bottom, then, you know, for me, there's no point me doing my job and there's no point the lads signing up to come in and doing that. If we finish fourth bottom and that's all we've been good enough to do, then listen, that's how it is. But we'll be going into it, attacking it and trying to win every game like we've done this season. You know, we'll be a tough nut to crack for a lot of teams in this league and we'll make it difficult for people. And like I said, I'm sure people will not be relishing playing us on a regular basis now.
Well, Grant Black, manager of Belpertown, big congratulations to you, coaching staff, all the players and everyone associated with the club. It's been a brilliant season. Have a lovely summer and we'll catch up before the brand new season of the Northern Premier League Premier Division in August. You take care.
Excuse me.
Grant Black there, manager of Belpertown, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And finally, for the playoff finals from last week, let's go to the West Division. Commiserations to Run Conlinitz, who led for the majority of the game by 1-0. 1,600 people there in Cheshire for that game, but Marine scoring 2 goals in the final 20 minutes or so to see Marine back in the Premier Division next season. So congratulations to Marine. What's your thoughts, James?
Yeah, first time an opportunity for Marine to go straight back up and they've taken it straight away. But again, they had to come back into that game a little bit against Runcorn, as did with Workington in the midweek. Marine have become the comeback kings in this division now as such. Neil Kenge, again, is going to be up there in a lot of people's team of the years, I think. But again, for Runcorn next season, I think there might be a better expectation on them to perform next year too, along with Workington and some other sides.
Well, yeah, a big commiserations to Runcorn, and but it's going to be pretty Cheshire packed next year, isn't it? With Macclesfield joining the division and Witton Albion. And well, commiserations to Runcorn-Linnets, but certainly that was an epic season. But Marine going up to the Premier Division. And let's hear now from the victorious manager from Saturday afternoon. It's a big welcome back to the show now to Neil Young. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us and big congratulations on getting promoted back to the Premier Division. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's obviously, since the club got relegated a few years back now, it's where the club wanted to get. It hasn't been easy. You know, we've had a lot of injuries, particularly after Christmas. But we've had a very good 18 months at Marine. You know, obviously the FA Cup run last year. And to get promoted via the playoffs and 2 difficult games away from home. You know, it's great for the football club, great for the supporters. It's something we can look forward to.
And it's been a roller coaster season, hasn't it? And quite a competitive division, to say the least. You know, with yourselves, Workington, Warrington Rylands, Leek Town, all vying for top spot during the season. So, I mean, how exhausted are you as well that we've come to this point now where you can finally look back on it and go, whew, we got there?
Yeah, it was a difficult season. I think we played 53 games in the end. As you know, we had a very good FA Cup run again and a good FA Trophy run. So, but we had lots of injuries. I know clubs have had injuries, but our defence was decimated from Christmas on. We lost the whole back four that we started the season with. And at this level that we're playing at, you know, it's very difficult to replace that and keep winning games. But we managed to do that. But then, obviously, we had a drop-off, you know, and lads getting injured and lads playing out of positions, etc. And we've also got to give great credit, I think, to Warrington Rylands and Worthington, because they had, you know, particularly Warrington Rylands, they had an unbelievable record after Christmas. But yeah, in the main, you know, it's been exhaustive, as you said, but it's just happy to get over the line, really.
So when the season finishes, you find yourself in fifth position after everything. And like you touched upon, you're going to have to get promoted the hard way, a tough trip up to Workington and then either Leek Town or Runcorn-Linnets. So let's just touch upon the Workington game firstly. I mean, that was a bit of an epic evening, wasn't it? I mean, walk us through that Tuesday night up in Cumbria.
It was. I mean, just looking at the playoffs in totality, it's something that I've done previously at Coleman Bay. I wasn't too bothered. It was home and away. It's the end of the day, it's a semi-final and a final. You very rarely play them at home in the normal circumstances. The key thing for me was getting as many key players back, fit and available, you know, managing them through the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So we were planning, once we knew we weren't going to win the league, we were planning for the playoffs and making sure that when semi-final and final came round, we had, you know, as many people fit as we possibly could, and, you know, a match fit more than anything. So if you look at our teams over the last 5 or 6 games, you probably see team lads coming on and off, and, you know, there was a plan there on how we do that. But, you know, going back to your original question, and Worthington, probably the toughest game in the league that we've had this season. We played them 5 times, I think, the FA Cup and replays, etc. I thought we're the better team up there. You know, we've made some goalkeeping errors for their goals. I know we've scored late, very late, 96 or 97, and it makes it look a little bit, you know, as if we were lucky to get in the end. But I thought overall we deserved to win the game.
And when it comes to, you know, we should mention Neil Kenge, shouldn't we, really? When that equaliser goes in on that Tuesday, soon followed by the winner in extra time. I mean, what are your emotions at that point?
Emotions, I think, as you get more experienced, then it's obviously you're excited. You know, you can use all positive words, but the key thing is, I've said all along, you know, some people wrote us off, some people doubted us, but it's been a very difficult season, you know, with injuries. And I knew if we could get our best side on the pitch or anywhere that resembled that, with substitutes that could come on and make a difference, you know, we're more than capable of beating anyone in the division. We proved that at Workington. As you say, Neil on the night got a great hat-trick. But to go to Workington any time, go to Workington midweek, is always difficult. Didn't get home. I think I finally got home 2:45 in the morning, I think, after extra time. So, but yeah, expected to get the results at such a good team away from home.
Yeah, and just to, before we get to the playoff final itself, just to mention for Neil as well, because his goal scoring this year has been another level. I mean, how important has he been to your success this year, do you feel?
He's been very important, and to be fair to him, he's had to play, you know, particularly after Christmas, a lot of games out of position. Numbers have dictated what we can play. We've had to play 5 at the back a lot of the time because we have no centre-halves at all, and it usually meant he'd have to go out onto the left-hand side to play wing-back. And he just gets on with it. You know, we took him from Staley Bridge. You know, he was on the bench at Staley Bridge a number of years back. You know, and we said we'd take him forward and work with him and develop him. And you know, he's developing into a very good forward. And his goals in the playoffs have been, you know, exactly what we needed at that time.
And then that takes us then to Saturday's match against Runcorn, and it's Kenge scoring again and Jack Dunn scoring the winner with about 10 minutes left. I mean, Runcorn Linnets have been tricky this year, haven't they? They've been really, really impressive. They've had a very good season. So, I mean, that game there, you could argue maybe Runcorn Linnets were the underdogs, maybe Marine, who actually did finish beneath them in the league table. But what did you make of the occasion there in front of 1,600 people in Cheshire?
It was a great occasion for anyone who was at the game. You know, great credit to both sets of supporters. You know, I think great credit to both clubs as well, putting such a big game on, you know, in a very short space of time. You know, Wednesday to Saturday for such a big game, and ticketing and safety and all those things. You know, I think it's a great credit to the two football clubs to be able to put that game on. And if anyone that was there, it was a great occasion. You know, the fans were very well behaved, and respect for each other's teams and supporters was excellent. It was proper non-league, how non-league should be. Obviously, Callum was my youth team manager when I was the Chester manager, so I know Callum really well, very keen, and done really well in his, I think it's probably his first full season, if I'm honest, I think, at Runcorn. And then Colin, he's got an excellent number two. Obviously, I know Colin really well. Dave Chen was a good friend of mine, and he came through the Collins as number two of various clubs, Colin Bay and Fylde, etc. So yeah, great occasion. You know, as we know, Runcorn have had an unbelievable season. A lot of young players, and obviously Brooke at front, who's only going to get your goals. But as I said earlier, you know, I've said all along, and to be fair to Callum, he said it as well, that, you know, if we could get our team out, you know, we're as good as anyone in this division. And we got most of our team out on the day, allowed us to have a stronger bench for substitutes, and that allowed us to win a game which I thought we fully deserved to win.
So, as a result of that victory, up to the NPL Premier Division, Marine back in the Premier Division for next season. Obviously, it's been a very long season, Neil, so I'll forgive you if you just say, you know what, Ben, I'm just having a little break. But when does your mind turn towards next season and preparing for it, both on and off the field at Marine?
Well, I think any manager would tell you that it has to turn straight away, you know, in terms of looking at different things. You've got to look at it as a football club. Obviously, we're currently in the process of ripping up our pitch, which has been a problem for a lot of the season. And, you know, putting in a new 4G pitch that's currently just started at the beginning of this week. So that's a big change for us. Obviously, we're looking at the current playing squad, and we'll be having meetings over this next week, really, understanding what the playing budget's going to look like, etc., for next season, because, you know, I'm under no illusions how difficult this jump is, and the teams that are in there now to the teams that were potentially in it 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, but also we've got to enjoy, you know, they believe in enjoying your good times, and, you know, promotions, and letting players and committee and people enjoy that. As managers, obviously, we're looking at the next step, and the next step is another challenge, but it's a challenge that I've faced many times. So, you know, we use that experience, and hopefully, you know, come August, we're ready and ready to go.
Great stuff. Well, Neil Young, big, big congratulations once again on achieving this promotion back into the NPL Premier Division. How much, just a final question, because you're one of the last managers I'm interviewing after this season. How much are you looking forward to just a little break after what's been a very long year?
I'll be honest, Ben, we're having such a good FA Cup run as well, and we do a lot of work from an analysis perspective. You know, Saturday, Tuesday, continually, you know, is a challenge, you know, with a family and a job. But every manager, I suppose, will tell you that. But, you know, the rewards are massive. Not so much for yourself. Obviously, I'm proud of what we've achieved. But it's just to see the smiles on people's faces at the football club. As I said earlier, you know, we've had an amazing, you know, 2 years. The FA Cup run last year. And then on the back of that, you know, when people were doubting us, although I never doubted us at all, that we've managed to get promotion back in the Northern Premier League. And we hopefully now carry on looking forward like we have been doing.
Great stuff. Well, Neil, big congratulations, mate, once again. And catch up next season ahead of the brand new season in the NPL Premier Division. Big congratulations to everyone at the club, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And just before we go, a big commiserations to Histon, who lost out in the relegation playoff on Saturday to Consett. Sadly, Histon will be departing us this season, but Consett will be joining us as a result of that game. Which leads me, James, to our next show that we're going to be doing, which will be the first of our Welcome to the NPL shows, which we'll be doing during the month of May. Because of the nature of geography and the nature of non-league football, I'll just invite the teams who I think are definitely northern. So Consett, Macclesfield, that kind of thing. Who are definitely northern? I think that's fair, isn't it? Right. Well, we'll do that.
It's not as quite a few Midland sides that we're still completely unsure about at this moment. Well, I'll put it this way, we've not even put a date out for the allocations yet, so we'll find out what happens soon.
You might remember over the summer, dear listener, what we did was we did some normal Welcome to the NPL shows, and then we had a bit of a break, and then when the leagues were confirmed, we then invited the Midlands clubs on. So that's probably what we're going to do. But to begin with, next week, we'll definitely have a Welcome to the NPL show where we'll be inviting, not to say proper northern teams, but the teams who I think it's a safe bet will be in our neck of the woods next season. But a big congratulations to everyone who got promoted. Commiserations to those who didn't, and commiserations to those who've been relegated as well. But that was the season, James. That was it. We did it.
Yep.
We made it. Yay. Yeah.
500 miles to end the season. You got to love it.
Yeah. Congratulations to you, James, as well, for all your efforts covering all this all over social media over the last fortnight or so. Just to let everyone know as well, we will have a NPL show later in the month as well, where we'll be discussing our moments of the season, as well as probably giving out some kind of unofficial award for manager of the season. We'll have a big discussion. Basically, I've said this before, managers, don't get excited about this. No one's going to Timpson's or anything like that to get a trophy. It's literally to fill time. James, just before we go, there's a player awards, isn't there? What's happening there? Can you fill us in before we go?
Yeah, so it's not happening in Barnsley this year, sadly, but we're moving it online to continue the NPL supporters player of the season. Obviously, at the end of March, as the transfer window ended, we asked everyone to nominate. And then over 200 people took part to put the final 10 players together, expanded from five in the past. So the final 10 players are as follows. Adam Boyes of Marsh United, Dale Di Girolamo, Buxton, Jacob Hazel of Whitby, Joey Butlin, Chasetown, Zach Goodson, Ilkeston Town, Jonathan Margetts, Stamford / Belper, because he played for both during the season, Kane Drummond, Warrington Rylands, Ryan Brook of Runcorn Linnets, Neil Kenge of Marine, and Kevin Hayes of Stockton Town are the 10 finalists for the season. Voting is now open as of 7 o'clock on the Friday, if you're listening to the show on the same week, and it will close roughly 2 weeks' time. I've not put a final date up just yet, but we'll go for Sunday the 21st. You've got 2 weeks. Only one vote allowed per person, as normal. Any
yes. No. This is my favourite bit of the year. This is the bit I've really been looking forward to. Right, James, one vote per person, and James is well on this, so you can't cheat the system, dear listener. Isn't that right, James?
Exactly.
Don't even try. What happens if you try, James?
I delete every one of your votes.
That's right. good luck to all those nominees.
The link for the voting will be on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, which is Official Northern Premier. If it doesn't show the link there, and the link will also be for the league website and on the YouTube page too.
Excellent stuff. Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. We'll catch up again in a couple of weeks' time. But we're going to go now. Like we said, a big congratulations to everyone who've achieved something this year. And to be honest, I think that's everybody, because when we started this show back in August, it was a trip into the unknown. Were we going to get to the end of the season? But we did finally get there in the end. So well played, everyone. And thank you for listening to these shows week in, week out. And we'll be back next week with Welcome to the NPL. But from everyone here at the NPL show, we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.